Log Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
All right, we're going to go online now. Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and we've got a great show planned for you tonight. This is a show that you really don't want to miss. Just a little housekeeping. We're grateful to those of you all that tuned in last week. We had featured guest, Ms. Bernie Frazier, and she talks about her book, you know, Your Success is Within You. That's a very good topic. So tonight we're going to be going to our story in just a few minutes. But before I do that, I want to go ahead and bring in at this time my co-host, Ms. Cross, and let her give her introduction. Ms. Cross, welcome to the show. You're live.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hello, hello.
And how's it going for you this week?
So far, so good. It's a wonderful year so far, so I'm happy for that. I know we're only a few days in, but it feels good.
You know what? That is excellent. And I love your optimism and all of your energy. Okay, so we're going to get right to the story. In just a moment. But I do want to ask you this question here. Tonight's topic is, how does prayer change things? And throughout the night, we're going to go back and forth with this here. We're going to read the story. We're going to take comments that come into the studio. But just from the top of your head, how does prayer, you know, what is prayer to you, and how does it really change things in your opinion?
Well, you know, in the Bible we read that, you know, if you have to receive. So the whole concept of praying for what you want, but then I also learned that it needs to be in accordance with God's will. So because now that I'm older, I kind of think back at the things that when I was younger I would pray for, and I really thank God that he didn't give it to me. Because sometimes the things that we pray for is not either what we're ready for, is not what we're supposed to have.
Okay. All right. Okay. Excellent then. And I see prayer as a matter of communicating with God with your concerns like you have a friend. So I think that becomes vitally important. So I think that's a great thing. All right. We're going to go right to tonight's story and get started. All right. Let's take a look here now. And tonight's characters. In tonight's story, Horace and India. Horace and India. All right, now this is a couple that you don't want to miss this storyline on them. All right, here we go. Horace and India, after 12 years of marriage and 3 small children, Horace and India separated. They have now been separated for 8 months with minimum communications only when it pertains to their children. Now, both Horace and India are practicing Christians, and they attend the same church, but can't seem to iron out their differences despite numerous prior spiritual and other professional counseling sessions. So they've had two. They've had the spiritual and other professional counseling. Now, Horace now lives with his older brother, but continues to support his financial responsibilities to his family, including being involved in their lives on a regular basis. That's the lives of the children. The couple truly miss each other, and India has been praying and fasting for them to get back together. But Horace, on the other hand, feels that it won't work out because he feels they're not compatible. He loves India, but wants what he feels is best for her in the long run. He's not praying for them to get back together. Instead, he's praying for God's will to be done in their lives. Now their separation has turned into a year and a half, and there appears to be no signs of a reunion. Now India is miserable. As Hari seems to be okay in his life, in his new life, that is. Now India has begun to question, does prayer really change things? Because she has been praying and fasting for God to send Harris back to his family, and Harris does not appear moved at all in that direction. India does not want to give up on her faith because this is all she knows, but it is wearing down on her. Now she has no clue on what to do other than hope that her prayers will be answered. And the question that I start out with tonight, if it were, Ms. Cross, if it were meant to be for Harris and India to be together, would they have been separated for over a year and a half, in your opinion?
I've heard cases where people separate and they go ahead and after years of being separated, they actually come back together. So I've heard cases where they divorce and that's it, and I hear cases to where they do reunite. So I kind of know it from both spectrums. But I strongly believe that if it's one-sided, then it's not meant to be. That it's not meant to be, because it has to be two people willing to be in a relationship.
All right. Let me go to the phone line. I'm going to actually stand by just a second, Ms. Crosby. I'm going to go to 980-245. Welcome live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show.
Hello. How are you?
We're fine. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. This is Burnell. My name is Burnell.
Yeah, Burnell. Okay. Burnell, what do you think about that? I mean, if it was meant to be for Harris and India to be together, do you think they would have been separated that long?
No, I agree with her. Anything that's going to be will be. And it can't be a one-sided thing. It has to be both parties that have the same feelings for each other.
Right. Okay. And so while I've got you on the line, I want to give my take on that. And my take is simply that I don't believe that God forces his will on anyone. I really don't. I believe that everybody has free will. So if India is doing all of this praying that Harris will come back to her, that God will send them back, then if that were the case, then let me ask you this, Burnell. Would it be that Harris doesn't want to go back? Would it be that Harris' free will has been compromised by God? And God said he does not impose his will on anyone, even when it comes to certain things.
I wouldn't say so much by God, because when we're born with a choice. We all have choices that we can make, and it would be, like you said, his free will. It would be up to him whether his heart is into it, whether he really wants the relationship or not. And it's possible that he doesn't. I think that purpose, and when you want to be with someone, you be with that person. And if you don't, you move on.
But she's praying. She's praying, and she's not only praying, she's fasting. She's showing signs that I'm desperate to get my husband back to this family. But he's not even moved by any of this.
And that's wonderful that she's praying if that's what she really wants. But is that where his heart is? And I will say this also. God doesn't move on our time. Mm-hmm. God moves on his own time. So, the prayers are wonderful. And then the fasting is even more wonderful, because that's what God tells us to do for something. But then if it's not the will of God, this person, he knows her heart and he knows this guy's heart. If this guy's heart is not in it, why would God force them two to be together? I don't think he would.
He wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. And I certainly agree with that. I think that, oftentimes people are saying, well, I'm praying that God will change his heart or God will change her heart. God doesn't even impose his will on us to even serve him. And I think that this is where a lot of people go wrong in their relationships and even in their marriages. They believe that every marriage is of God. I don't believe that. I believe the institution of marriage is of God. But I don't think that every marriage is of God. Because if that were the case, I believe that a whole lot more marriages I believe that all the marriages would work. They would.
That's true.
If they were of God.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, because the thing is, a lot of us put our own marriages together, but then we convince ourselves that it's of God. Not always of God, and this is why a lot of times it's not lasting, because a lot of us are not on the same accord with each other. We're not walking in agreement with each other.
And we know what the Bible says about that. How can two walk together unless they agree? And let me tell you something. And that agreement to me means respectfully agreeing to disagree even, but walking together in that in harmony. And so here it is that the reason why I believe, and Ms. Cross, we're going to bring you in a second, the reason why I believe India is so miserable is because, and she's losing faith, you know, which is all she knows, is because she believes, she's praying for change, for God to change Horace's heart to come back to his family. But Horace has free will. He has free will to say, this isn't working. We're not compatible. So why should I go back over there and make our lives miserable together? So, Ms. Cross,
can I share something with you?
Yes, go ahead.
Before you bring her in, can I share something with you on that?
Yes.
This is something God shared with me years ago, dealing with me praying for my husband. First of all, the Lord said to me, because, see, I was miserable going through my marriage. The Lord said to me, I didn't put that marriage together. You did. The both of you did. This is how God dealt with me. And then the Lord let me know, here you are. You're praying for him to change. Let's pray for you to change. See, this is how God dealt with me. I can't speak for anyone else, but God dealt with me. What about prayer for you to change? Talking about me now.
Right.
See, sometimes we're so busy praying for our spouse to change. What about praying for yourself to change? Because, see, sometimes you need to be able to be changed to deal with the environment that you're in. And then also you need to be praying for patience.
Vernell, I think that's a very good point. Oftentimes it's so easy to see the flaws of what we think are the flaws of someone else, when in fact, if we look in the mirror and we looked in the mirror objectively, then you know what? We might discover that, hey, we got some flaws too. Ms. Cross, I mean, why is it, in your opinion, you know, that this couple, why is she praying and nothing's happening? Nothing is happening. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, how does prayer change things? You know, we know it says all the time that prayer changes things. But tonight we're asking the question, how does prayer change things?
Well, with me, I know, because when I pray, I look at it like, you know, that's my father. So I develop a relationship. When I pray to him, it's very personal, you know, and I feel like when I pray for things, show you signs. And the whole thing is that when we're praying for him, we'll get the signs, but we don't want to pay attention to the signs sometimes, and we continue to hold on. And God may be actually preventing us from going through something, or just kind of taking it away from us, and we're not ready to let go. And I really feel that when we don't let go, that's when we experience all this depression. It becomes, you know, turbulence. We go through all the turbulence because we're not paying attention to the sign that this and that is maybe time to let go.
Okay, all right.
So
you listen to life. Go ahead, Ms. Ross.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, your phone went out a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was saying, in my personal experience, that's what I've come to find. Like, I've learned to pray about everything I want. So I do. I go to my father and I ask him for what I want. But he will show me signs like, this is not where I want you to be. And in all of my stubbornness, because I'm growing, I would ignore the signs. And what I found is that he's trying to teach me something. And once I've learned that lesson and I continue to stay in the realm of what's going on, then I kind of have to deal with it, you know? So I think that
right.
A lot of times he'll give you the signs. It's just we got to pay attention.
Okay, that's interesting. You're listening live to Dr. Jess Walker. If you just joined us, tonight's topic is, how does prayer change things? Tonight's characters are Horace and India. couple that's been married for 12 years. They got three small children. They recently separated, and now it's been 8 months into the separation. They're both practicing Christians. They attend the same church, but they can't seem to iron out their differences despite numerous prior spiritual and other professional counseling. Now, Harsh now lives with his older brother, and he seems to be doing okay, but he continues to do his financial part with his family. You know, and that includes even he's there to, he's involved in their regular daily lives as well, but he's just not living with his wife at this time, India. So now the couple, they miss each other, but India, you know, she's praying, and not only praying, she's fasting for them to get back together. She's asking God to send her husband back home with them. But Harsh, on the other hand, he's pretty comfortable where he is, and he feels that they should not get back together because he finds that they are not compatible. Now their separation has turned into a year and a half, and there appears to be no signs of a reunion. Now India is miserable, as Harsh seems to be okay in his new life. India is now starting to question. She's starting to question, does prayer really change things? Because she's been praying and fasting for God to send Harsh back to the family, and Harsh does not appear to be moved at all in that direction. India doesn't want to give up on her faith because this is all she knows, but it's wearing down on her. Now she has no clue on what to do other than hope that her prayers will be answered. And that's where we are in tonight's story. You know, and then we start out with, if it was meant to be for Harsh and India to be together, would they have been separated this long? And you've heard some of our callers, their comments, Ms. Croft. You know, now the question is, despite India's constant praying and fasting for Harsh's return, why hasn't he been moved at all by this? If you want to speak to the host, or the co-host, and you want to make a comment, press 1 on your dial at this time, and we'll gladly entertain that. So, you know, why hasn't, this is my question, let me go to Vernell just for a second. Vernell, in your opinion, why hasn't Harsh been moved by all of this at all?
Because it may not be something that God really wants to put back together. First of all, God is not the author of confusion. Second of all, she's doing all the praying and she's fasting. However, Harsh might not be the man for her. Harsh might be, he might be just, like you said, just cooling out. He's relaxing, not thinking about that. So if his heart is not in it, why in the world would we, you know, she continue to pray for something that may not be hers?
But they got three children, Vernell. What about the children?
That doesn't matter. You can have 10 children, but you might not be the one for her. You know, lust and sex is... lust and sex is something that everybody will do in spite of, but that doesn't mean that that's the man for her. I've wanted somebody, and, you know, in the past, I've wanted a certain person, but it doesn't mean that he was for me. He wound up with somebody else, so, hey, I had to let it go. It's time for that person to let go. Let me tell you something about what she's doing. She's the one, she's confusing herself. She's the one that's disappointing herself and causing herself to be depressed. It's not her husband. It's not him. It's not God. She's doing it on her own because she's the one that's constantly going on and on about it. She needs to let it go.
Okay. All right. Vernell, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines once again. We're already starting to get a number of comments coming into the studio. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go. Let me find out where we are here. Okay, here we go. We're going to go to 786-489. We're going to ask all of our callers to stand by. 786-489, you're live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have with us? And welcome.
Thank you, Stephen. How you doing?
Stephen, joining us. We're
great
doing
topic.
Great. Stephen, thank you for that. You know, we're trying to figure out why isn't Harsh moved by the praying and the fasting that his wife India is doing. She wants him to come back home. Stephen, what's going on?
That's a little, you know, that's what she wants. And you have to pray. One thing I found out, you have to pray together. And and you got to be on one accord. She wants that. She's praying for that. He's not praying for that. He may not want it. And they're not on the same accord. It might have been not on the same accord, you know, before they got married. The praying should have been started before you get married, you know. Both y'all on y'all knees praying together, you know, pray, you know, going, somebody needs to be gone in the closet and start praying. And it's a one way, it's supposed to be a two-way street, but somebody's only one person going down the street. So mm-hmm. you have to pray together. You got a situation where he ain't feeling it, but she is. You know, me and my wife, we pray together. We're on one accord. And prayer, I pray. I've been single all my life. I just got married at 65 years old. And I've been praying for a good wife for 30-some years. And the Lord, you know, you got to be patient. The Lord don't just pop up and give it what you want. You got to be patient with prayer. It may not come when you want it, but it came right on time for me. Praise God.
That's right.
Well, congratulations. That's right. But, Stephen, tell us why isn't Horace moved? In a nutshell, why isn't he moved by the praying and fasting that his wife is doing? I mean, in a nutshell.
Well, I don't think he's really Christ-centered. He may not have the belief in prayer, and it ain't doing nothing for him. That's his personal thing. Prayer is personal. And if he ain't into praying in the Word, it ain't moving him. It's something with his spirit. You know, he probably don't want to be in it. You know, he might not even want to get in from the beginning. He ain't for it.
Right. We're gonna ask all of you on standby. We're gonna go to phone lines once again. Okay, we've lost that call. All right, here we go. We're gonna go to 205-908. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. You're live. 205-908.
Oh, hello.
Yes, hello? Yes. Hello? You're live
on
the
air.
We can now.
Okay, yes, I got disconnected there for a second. Oh, okay.
Welcome.
Oh, this is Jack.
Jack, welcome mm-hmm. back, Jack. Thank you for joining us. Jack, did you have a comment? What do you think?
I don't want to say I disagree with the last two callers or your co-host and the young man, Stephen. I just do want to say this, though. I don't know all this going on in the life of this couple here with the three children. I don't know whether the wife was really there for him during the marriage and all. I mean, they separated, you know, and it's gone into 8 months now, you said, and he's not feeling it. She's fasting and praying. And I didn't hear you say whether he was fasting and praying or not, but I do know this. We don't know all the ins and outs that happened in the marriage when they were together. She could have been, you know, not the loving and affectionate type woman that, you know, she's supposed to be. He could have not been a loving and affectionate husband that he was supposed to be. So the separation was giving them time to think. And where she's trying to move, and this happens a lot of times, trying to move ahead of God. Maybe he feels that he needs more time to adjust. Not saying that he's out there with a Sue Sally or Mary, but he needs more time to digest and process all of this that's happening in their lives and all that happened during the marriage, even though they have three children. You didn't say anything about him making sure that he takes care of his children, but I'm sure
we said that he's taking care of his responsibility. He's involved in their lives on a daily basis.
Right. So he is taking care of his three children. That's fine.
Right.
So that shows to me, that he's very, very responsible right there. But that shows something right there. That shows a great sign. Now, someone said that he may not be a Christian. We can't say that because we go through headaches too. We go through problems as well. So we have to deal with it, and we have to ask the Lord to show us what to do. Maybe the Lord is showing him not right now. I know your co-host said that maybe they're not the right couple. That could very well be true. They could not be the right couple. But God has to intervene here now, because even though they may not have been the right couple, they got married anyway, and you got little lives involved here now. You got little lives involved here now. So you got to think in terms of that as well. So he may need more time to process and digest all of this and figure out what he's going to do. Maybe he doesn't want to get back into a situation with a wife not being loving, kind, and compassionate, and all those things that go with that, rendering all those due benevolence and all that. So maybe that's what he's feeling. I don't know what the gentleman is feeling at all. But we know what we go through as men, and we know what we go through. I mean, hats off to those who got a perfect marriage, because I don't know of any. But hats off to those who say that they have a perfect marriage, because I really don't know any.
All right. Well, Jack, we appreciate that thought. And Yeah, these are both practicing Christians, and they actually attend the same church, but they just can't seem to work it out. And Horace feels that, you know, he wants what's best for both of them. And although India is praying, Horace in his heart feels that they're not compatible. He feels that they're not compatible, and she's not able to see this, but she's praying. And to me, it would appear that you know, I've been taught that God does not impose his will on anyone, even for us to serve him. So, I mean, should she be praying for that? I mean, I don't see anything wrong with praying for that, but I would say be praying. On the other hand, Horace is praying for God's will to be done in their lives.
Yes.
He's not praying to say, send me back to my wife. And, Jay, we'll hold your thoughts a second. Let's go to Vernell. Vernell, he's praying that God's will be done. So what do you think? I mean, should you know, God, let your will be done in our lives. If it's for us, let's get back together. If it's not, let us move on so we can be happy.
Right. We all should want God's will to be done in our lives, no matter what it is that we're doing, because if we know that it's God's will, then it's going to work out the way that we want as well as the Lord wants. So that's a plus there.
Okay. And I want to chime in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, yeah, this is Camila. I was saying that, you know, he's not really wrong for wanting to move on, and she's not wrong for wanting to save her marriage, you know. But it's kind of like her praying that, you know, saying, God, if he's not for me, make him for me. You know, that's such a strong statement. And you don't know what you may be calling into your life when God has a different plan for you. You know, a lot of times I really do believe the things that he doesn't give us sometimes is just really trying to mold us and shape us to where he wants us to be. So not, you know, it's sad that this marriage may not work out. You know, we're looking at it as a marriage. They have children. You know, ideally we want this marriage to work for them and for the kids. But if it's not a healthy relationship, it's not going to be good for the kids anyways. It's not going to be good for her, and it's not going to be good for him. So I understand it from both sides. But we got to allow for – she needs to pray. If she's praying for her husband, she prays for her husband. But she has to continue on with her life. I'm not saying go out and date the world. But just continue to be the best – continue to be the best wife, the best mother she can be, but allow God's will to be done.
I certainly agree with that. Stephen, let's bring you back in, and then, Jack, we're going to bring you in back in as well. Stephen, I mean, in your opinion – how does prayer change things? How does prayer change things? What does that phrase mean to you? Prayer changes things.
If you pray sincerely, you know, sincerely with all your heart, and, you know, the old Bible says, you know, people go in the closet, and you have a sincere, honest prayer, okay, because you have to start it out with sincerity and honest prayer, get on your knees, and you're praying for, and it depends on what you're praying for. Because a lot of times people pray for stuff like, I want a new car, a new Mercedes-Benz. You know, that ain't in God's plan for you to have a new Mercedes-Benz, but people pray for stuff like that, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking about, if you talk, like somebody mentioned, doing God's will, the Lord wants his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, that's the Lord's prayer. That's the will. He wants his will to be done, not yours. So prayer sincerely for doing God's will change things in its own way, in its own time. You can't put no time in, I want you to do this by Saturday night at 8:00. It may not work like that. You know, it may not work like that. It works the Lord's will to be done. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And prayer sincerely for something that's meaningful or God willing to do. That's sincerely, because it does change. I pray for stuff. It didn't happen right away. It might have took 15, 20 years or years, stuff like that. And sometimes, you know, like I prayed to be healed from cancer. It took 2 years, but I was healed from cancer in 2 years, naturally. You understand? I prayed for it, got in the closet, and it happened. God's will was done. I got free of cancer in 2 years naturally. No chemo, no nothing. Okay? So it changes things if you're doing it sincerely. Okay?
Well,
that's the way I see it. If you do it sincerely, it's changing things.
Brilliant. Go ahead.
I wanted to chime in.
Go ahead. We're going to bring you in just a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I wanted to say is even sometimes when you pray sincerely, because you're so adamant on what you think you should have, and sometimes we pray for things, and if it's not God's will, you will not have it. You know,
right.
You will not. And sometimes that's very hard for us to fully grasp because you're like, I do everything right. I pray. I'm a good Christian. And you may pray for something and God doesn't give it to you. He may never give it to you just because that's not what he, that's not the direction that he wants you in. And
that's
then
correct.
There are times where it's,
mm-hmm.
it's, exactly, it's the timing. So, you know, just to kind of touch on your situation, you got married at 65. But that, and now you have the woman that God already molded for you. It took patience though. It took patience.
Yes.
So I do. Yeah. So I do believe that, you know, we still have to understand. Even when we pray, you pray and you let God's will be done. It may not always be aligned with what we really want.
True.
Okay.
True.
So Claude, you said something, and you said, so what about when the Bible? He said he may never give it to you. But what about when he says, I will grant you the desires of your heart. What about that?
Well,
if that heart is, that puts the praying for that brand new Mercedes that Stephen said, you know, and that's a desire of their heart, what about that, Ms. Cross?
Yeah.
That will bring you the same question.
I'm going to get really, really deep. So I was listening to a sermon, and it was talking about the power of prayer. And one of the pastors was saying, wonder if God would have granted Mary her wish to not take Jesus. To not have Jesus sacrifice himself for us. And I said, wow, because at the time, I'm sure Mary was on her knees praying that God would take Jesus in such a manner. But wonder if his will wasn't done. And as a Christian, we know Jesus died for our sins. So when he said that, it was such on such a profound level, it started making sense to me that guess what? Sometimes we pray for things, but things have to, sometimes not so good things have to happen for better things to happen. And while we're in the midst of a situation, we can never understand it. But it's after 10, 20, 30, two generations later, we're like, I understand why. You know,
to whoever
for
can this I
to
say
happen.
Something, Dr. Walker?
Yeah, but hang on. Let me bring Jackie in just for a second, Brunel. Jack, give us your thought. What do you think? I mean, how does prayer change things?
Prayer really does change things, and I like the comment that Stephen made. You got to kind of listen to Stephen. Stephen reminds me of I was at this church, and this guy had mentioned that the Lord saved him. His mother had been praying for him for all these many, many, many years, and he didn't find the Lord until he was 60-something years old. So same thing with Stephen there, and he didn't get married. He waited all those years, and he had been praying for the right person. So he got married at 65. I mean, that's over half of a lifetime because we only promised 3 score 10, and then he got what he wanted. So prayer does change things. Now, God answers in 3 ways, yes, no, and wait. And see what prayer does. Prayer is the key that unlocks heaven's storehouse. Prayer doesn't bring God down to us, but it brings us up to God. And every morning when we get out of our bed, we're to give thanks to him for waking us up that morning. And we say, Lord, I lay all my plans at your feet. So whatever we do, we give it to him, and he will answer our prayer. And you mentioned that he will give you the desires of your heart. He will. But it might not be the time that you want it. It may be later on in your life when he knows that you can handle it because everybody can handle certain things at certain times in their life. But later on down the line, they can handle it. That's why he said, I mean, that's why it's this way. 3 ways, yes, no, and wait. Prayer changes things. I'm a devout believer in that, and I definitely believe that, and I share that everywhere I go. Prayer does change things.
Okay, Brunel, let's bring you in. Jack, we appreciate that. Brunel, let's bring you back in.
I totally agree with Jack. Prayer definitely changes things, and I'm a living witness of it. But now, there are some times when we can be praying selfishly, and
mercy.
I don't think anyone mentions that. Sometimes we can be praying so selfishly, we want something so bad, and it's not God's will for us to have. Even though a person may have several children, like I say, lust get involved at times, your fornication, so things like that. But that still, it might not have been God's will, and it still could be the fact that she was being very impatient and just not asking God for patience to wait upon God to put that together. Now, the gentleman mentioned that he just got married at 60-some years old, and
right.
He kept praying, and that's all good and well, and maybe it was just time now for God to put that union together, which he did, and I'm happy for him.
All right.
But anyway,
go ahead.
Yeah, that's all I want to say.
No.
Okay, I got to
go.
Y'all have
a
good evening.
Thank you. Let's bring you back in. All right, thank you. Stephen, let's bring you back in and ask you this question. Although you were praying for a wife for those years, I mean, you can pass on the question if you'd like to. Did you have any girlfriends, one or just maybe two, or in that time frame? Did you have any girlfriends, or did you remain set, just waiting for God to answer your prayer? Help us out with that.
Who you asked? You asked me that, Steve?
Yes, I'm asking Stephen that. You got married at 65, so you're prior to marriage, your life prior to marriage. Help us out to understand that.
I dated often. I dated a lot and had girlfriends. Because, see, I've had that prayer. I made that prayer a few times. It wasn't like I was making it every week or every day. I let God handle it. But I dated, went out with people, and on a regular basis, I had girlfriends, had committed relationships. I was a one-man committed. When I had a committed relationship, I had a committed relationship. I wasn't, seeing other women. When I was just dating, I might date one or two women. It wasn't no committed relationship, but I might have dated one, two women and just to see what was going on with them and if it was going to be something right, a good fit. If it wasn't, I moved on. They moved on.
Right. Right.
So that's the way I kind of handle that. But I dated quite a bit.
Right. So let me ask you this, Stephen, could it ever have appeared to you that during that dating process, was there ever a period where you stayed with one woman for two or three years, meaning you dated that same woman perhaps monogamously for two or three years? Was that ever a case?
I dated two women for two or three years. I wasn't a long-term. Once I dated you for maybe 9 months or 2 years, and I see it wasn't going to fit, I got out of it. I didn't string you along, and I wasn't going to be strung along. I got out of it. If it wasn't going to fit, figure usually about 2 years in the same community. If it wasn't going to fit, or I seen a big red flag, I ran.
Right.
I got away.
So, Stephen, is it fair to say, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. I'm just going to ask this question. Is it fair to say that, I'm sorry, Stephen, is it fair to say that in all those years of waiting for 65 years that you got tired, maybe, and you felt that God slowed you down for this one? Is that fair?
Well, after you get older and older, you just say, I said, Lord, what is it going to be like? Send me somebody, and he just happened to send the right person. I met her at church, and, it worked out fine, but you get tired of dating, I wanted to grow old with somebody. I wanted to find somebody to grow old with. Okay. So, I was getting tired. I didn't, I got tired, I was tired. I was ready to settle down. I figured that long time, I need to be ready to settle down. First marriage.
Okay. All right. See, we're going to ask you, stand by. Thank you for being candid with us. Let's go to the phone lines once again. We're going to have all of you on standby. Ms. Foss, stand by. Jack, stand by. Burnell, let's go to 786-985. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Do you have a comment?
This is Miss X.
Miss X, thank you for joining us, Miss X. Miss X, what's your take on, does prayer change things?
I do think that it can, and I do think that it can, yeah.
Okay, all right. We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second, Miss X. We'll come back to you in a moment. Let's go to 850-212. Welcome to the Dr. Just Walk Show. You're live. Who do we have with us?
Big T.
Big T, thank you for joining us, Big T. Big T, what's your take on this here? I mean, we've heard a lot of different things tonight. We're talking about, does prayer change things? How does it change things, actually? What's your take on this, Big T?
Well, anytime there's a problem or anything that I need or anything that I want, I've always put God first and made sure that I've asked for. Anytime I pray, I always ask Him if it's His will. But I believe throughout my years of growth, it's always changed things for me and made a
mm-hmm.
difference because I made sure that I put Him first and. For whatever it is that I asked for, and I thank God for what He allowed me to have. Now,
mm-hmm.
I heard the gentleman earlier when he was talking about the different women he dated. And, a lot of times things don't happen for a lot of us as far as men trying to find good women because we try so hard because we're trying to date too many different women. A lot of time it's just a matter of just sitting still and letting God bring somebody to you. And a lot of times, a lot of men will be happy with what it is that God have for you more so than dating so many different women. Because all these women out there looking for a good man themselves, and when you're trying to date all the women in the world, it's not gonna work. It's just not gonna work. So when you pray about things and you ask God for what it is that you want, especially I always put forth if it's your will, it's gonna happen. Eventually it would happen. Maybe not right when you want it to happen, but it will happen.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Big
so
T, we're going to ask
you. My take on it.
We appreciate that, Big T. We appreciate your candidness, your honesty. Let's bring Jack back in. Then Ms. Clark, we're going to bring in. Jack, I mean,
okay.
I'm just thinking about, I'm digesting Stephen's, comments, that he got married at 65. Well, couldn't all of us I'm thinking here, okay, well, maybe I could have just waited forever almost, and no disrespect to Stephen, of course, but just wait and date different women leading up to that point, and then just finally, say, well, this is the right one that God must have sent this one because I'm kind of tired now. What is your, all of us slows down as we get older. Jack,
yeah.
What's your
thought on that? My thoughts are, I like what Mr. T said. It doesn't make sense to, run around with Sue, Sally, and Mary, all these different women, dating all these women and all. I'm not saying that's what Stephen did, but I know that wouldn't work for me. I got married at a really young age. I wouldn't know what it means to date, tons of women and all of that and trying to figure out which one I want. But now, looking at it from a realistic standpoint, you just said something as well. We start slowing down, when we turn a certain age, we get to our 40s and 50s, we start slowing down.
There you go. That's right.
On and all of that. So you have to look at all of that, too, and during your productive years and all. A lot of times people wait later on in life and they're doing their productive years. They can't even have children and all of that. So you got to look at all of that and all. That wouldn't work for me, but, that may have worked for Stephen and all, but maybe he was trying and he couldn't find anybody that was worthy. But
right.
For me, I may have rushed the gun a little bit earlier than waiting until I was 65 because I don't feel that would have worked for me.
Right. Ms. Cross, let's bring you in just for a second and ask you, Ms. Cross, I know you personally and my callers don't know you and you're a young woman. Ms. Cross, if, say you're not married, I mean, are you waiting like another, do you believe that maybe with the power of prayer, you can have the patience to wait 30 more years for God to send you that man?
Dr. Walker, I don't think it's going to take 30 years for God to answer my prayer.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That we pray for things and we really don't wait for God to give us the answer. We just try to figure it out ourselves. So all of that in itself
distraction. You know, with Steve, everybody's walk is different, you know. So I
right.
believe that in the midst of everything that he went through, it's just to build his character and to build him into that man that is perfect for his wife, and maybe to build his wife to make him, to make her perfect for him. So everybody's walk is different. So with Steve
right.
getting married at 65, that's just that, that's just what God's will was for him. That's
mm-hmm.
it. You know,
right.
nothing outside of that. So everybody's walk
right.
is different. So hope I'm
right.
just praying that God doesn't have my walk to be 65. But yes. No. No, I just I learned, but in defense of Steve, I am learning what Steve had to learn. I'm learning to be patient. And I never
okay.
want to walk into something that is not what God has for me.
Right, right, right. Well, I, you know, I'm not speaking for Stephen or anyone else out there, but I'm certainly thinking that when I reach that age of 65, I mean, for those who listen, at that time you probably don't feel like having arguments with anybody. You know, when you wait that long, that could be your best life ever, because you waited so long to live with somebody that's like, hey, we got to ride this thing out because we don't know how much more time we got. Stephen, we're going to bring you back in. Stephen, does that make any sense? I mean, it's like, I mean, a lot of us are perhaps learning. A lot of callers are probably listening and learning. Miss X, we're going to bring you in just a second to ask you a question. But, Stephen, wouldn't that make a lot of sense? It's like, shoo, your wife is the glory of everything you look at now in terms of her beauty and so forth, I'm sure. And she's looking the same way and saying, hey, you know, unless she's maybe 20 years old, I don't know. Is she?
No, she's not.
Okay.
She's not 20.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. See, one, you know, it ain't like I didn't want to be married, but I
right.
had a lot of, you know, disappointments. And one of them, I'm going to share it with you. I normally don't share this. You know, a lot of women rejected me. They want to deal with me because I had polio.
All right.
Okay. I wanted to be married in my late 20s, early 30s, but
right.
they could not deal with me, you know, having polio. It's not, you know, you can't really tell, but, you know,
right.
when they saw me, they, you know, they looked at polio, they didn't want to be with me. But, you know, my wife accepted me. You want to be accepted for what you are, and you
right.
want to accept a person for what they are, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because, you know, marriage is about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And as you develop and, you know, you know, I may have a short, life term. So right now we're going to enjoy it. We got about, you know, maybe Lord spare us 25, 30, whatever years left, and we're going to enjoy all of it. You know, I may not hit the 50 years like some people, 50-year marriage, you know, but,
right.
you know, we're going to enjoy each other. But, you know, yeah, it ain't like that. I just wanted to be single. I wanted to be married in my 30s, actually.
Right. Okay, Steve, we're going to have all of you on standby. We're going to, you're listening live to Dr. Jess Walker. We got 12 minutes before we end the show. I do want to get to some of the comments, but let's take another call right now. 770-866. You're live on the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Who do we have?
Well, hello, Dr. Walker. This is Audrey B. Life Coach. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we are.
I just want. Okay, quick comment. I have a comment, and I guess this is for the gentleman who got married at 65. One of the concerns I always have is by that age, because I'm getting older myself, and the longer you are on your own, you kind of formulate your own ways of doing things. And so I'm wondering, what does he face challenges of being that he is discombining his life at a later age and sharing his life? Is that any type of challenge after being used to kind of running your own show?
Yes. Yes, it is a challenge.
Okay. Oh, well, I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah. it's a challenge, yeah. But she's patient enough to work with us. We had counseling and everything, and we knew we was going to go through this.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Miss Audrey V is glad to, good to hear your voice. Miss Audrey V is actually, she's
right.
on break.
Right. How about you?
She's my former co-host. Many of you all may remember. She's working on her doctorate, and we wish her all the best. And soon she'll be Dr. Blake, Dr. Audrey Blake. And you're the author of Falling in Love with
Dr. Blake. Okay.
Let's say, just tell them a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I don't really want to say much. I'm a life coach, and I'm author of the book Falling in Love with Me and the novel Dying to Wake Up. It's on Amazon. But thank you, Dr. Walker.
Welcome back, Ms. Blake. Welcome back, Ms. Blake.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack.
All right. Let's go to Ms. X. Let me bring you back in. Ms. X, you know, when it comes to, like, your story tonight with Horace and India, have you ever experienced praying for a team and it came or didn't come?
How's it going, my brother?
Ms. X?
I'm here, but I couldn't hear because there's some noise.
Okay. Have you ever prayed for a change to come in your life and it did not happen or it did happen? And explain to us what, you know, the change that came or the change that did not come that you desired.
Yes, I did. I most certainly did. Maybe about a good 10, 15 years ago, because I stayed in it about 10 years. Yes, I did. And that person did come into my life. And I not only thought that he was heaven sent, but I just knew he was God sent, because he claimed to be a pastor and he said all the right things and he knew all the verses from the Bible. And I just, you know, it was just so many other things about the character and personality that it just seemed right. And then after a year, and I don't know why I stayed 9 more, but after a year, didn't Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde come out?
Wow.
And I just wondered, I just knew that God could not have sent me that. Now, he could have, and it could be still a good reason behind it. I haven't discovered it yet. So we have to be careful with what we think or believe God is sending. I don't know that everything comes from him, but then I don't know how to determine when it is from him, because I definitely thought that was.
Wow. Okay. All right. So let me, Jack, let's bring her in. You know, that's a very valid point, I think, that she made there. Sometimes we're thinking that it's God's will that, you know, like she mentioned the pastor. She met him and he said all the right scriptures and called himself out to be a pastor. And then Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde showed up, you know, but yes, she stayed another 9 years. So, Jack, what happens when people are actually, in your opinion, that people actually thought that this was God's will, and then when it goes disarray, then they say that, oh, okay, that wasn't God's will.
All that glitters is not gold, and you don't know a person until you actually stay with them. So she got a chance to see the true colors, even though he's called himself a man of the cloth. She found out differently when she got into it. Everybody that say that they're this way, they don't turn out to be that way. So the Lord delivered her from that, so I'm sure she's happy about that. Can I comment on something that Stephen said? Because I'm still in awe of this young man and some of the things that he's saying. Can I make a comment?
Yes.
I just wanted to say that I didn't realize that, you know, what he had said. I didn't know that. I thought he was just, you know, doing his thing, like trying to pick the best person. But he was telling us that he had polio, and a lot of them would run from that. And I understand, because I'm a friend like that, that a lot of people run for. So my hat is off to you that the Lord sent you the right person at the right time, and then now you can move on with your life and all. So I'm just happy for you, and I didn't know that. I didn't even think in terms of that, but you made it clear. And thank you for being so transparent.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I want to take some of the comments. Ms. Cross, let's bring you in. Do you got anything pressing on your mind right now?
Yeah, I remember hearing the story. It's a biblical story, but I don't remember the names of the people in the Bible. I don't remember it, but I remember the
Horace
story.
In India. Horace in India? Oh, you mean in the Bible?
No,
okay.
No, in the Bible, and it was an Israelite man, and he married a Palestinian woman, and everybody was against this marriage. And his family was like, "Why don't you marry a woman that's an Israelite?" And it was a big thing. But he marries this woman, and the woman, God knew the woman was going to betray him. But God was setting
Samson,
it up.
That's
to
Samson. That was Samson. Samson.
Samson of Delilah? Okay. So God was setting
Samson.
It up to where. It was Samson of Delilah? Okay. So he was setting
Not
it up
Delilah.
To where.
It wasn't Delilah. It was a woman of Timnath.
It was the woman of Timnath. It wasn't Delilah.
Okay, the woman. Thank you so much. Okay, so not Delilah. But the whole thing is God was setting it up to where he was trying to bring the Israelite people to a whole other level of grace. So these are, of course, that wasn't his will to marry this woman and she would betray him, but God was creating a bigger picture. He was setting the Israelite people up for something even bigger. So even the disappointments that we have in life is sometimes a preparation for something good and something even better. So I have learned that even with the disappointments, I still thank God and thank him, and I say all is well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking that she might be talking about, are you talking about Moses?
It wasn't Moses. I don't remember. Forgive me. I don't remember the name.
Okay. No, she's talking about Samson. Because he married
okay.
a woman and she betrayed him. She betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents didn't want him to marry her. They wanted him to marry his own kind, but he went out and
treated
her well. Right.
Okay.
That's it.
All
that's
right.
the story. That's
okay,
the story.
Okay, that's it.
So
thank you, Jack, for that.
Even in the disappointment times, you still thank God because you don't know what he's setting you up for.
That's
and I
right.
think at least, you know, so I've learned to, even through my disappointment, I still praise him and I still thank him. And I've come
okay.
to find that it's just because he didn't want me there. He wanted me even at a whole nother level. So,
all right, let's take a look at some of the comments, you all. We got 4 minutes. So I'm going to see if I can get some you all to share in with some of these comments. Stephen, let's give you the first one. This female writes in, I have always heard that prayer changes things. I think it's just a matter of having faith when it comes to praying and trusting that God knows best. Stephen, how do you feel about that? She just says it's faith. It comes down to your faith. Thinking that God knows best,
yeah.
even if you don't get what you pray for. That's how I take this.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. God has the answer, and God does know best because he sees everybody's heart. So just stay with the Lord in your thinking, your believing, and your faith, and do his will. Do what he asks you to do because he may have another course for you that you might not be interested in, but he has that course for you to go through and see what's best for you.
Okay. All right. Big T, we're going to bring you in for the next one here. This comment comes in, this male writes in, I think prayer is our direct communication with God. And based on our beliefs, things can change if we truly believe. Big T, how do you feel about that? You pray and things can change if you really believe. What's your thought on that?
I believe it does. And it has worked for me. I can't speak for everybody, but it has worked for me. Usually when I ask for something or anything that I want, I always put God first, like I said, and I ask him always. And prayer has always made a difference for me, even throughout life and growth. And I want to pull away from something and get away and become a better man. It has worked for me each time. So I honestly believe that it works.
All right.
Prayer
does
change things.
It does change things. We're going to ask you all to stand by. Let's take another call. Let's go to 786-543. 786-543. You're listening live to Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Welcome. Who do we have this evening?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Yeah.
Good.
Good. Who do we have? Who's the caller? This is James. 786-543. Okay. We're going to come back to that caller. Let's go with Ms. Cross. We're going to give you this next one. We're going to give you this next one. We've only got about 2 minutes left. This man, he says, I believe that when we pray, we have to put our part, we have to do our part as well. I mean, you can't just pray for a job and you don't prepare by looking for one. Ms. Cross, what do you think about that? I mean, you know.
I totally agree. You know, faith without works is dead. So I believe you put forth the first step and he'll guide you through the rest. But you definitely have to be willing to do, you have to be up for doing your part.
Okay, all right. Audrey B., are you still with us? All right,
yes.
Perhaps not.
Yeah.
Okay, she is. Okay, we're going to give you this one here. This female writes in, she says that, I've heard that we must have faith, and faith without works is dead. So I would say prayer changes things when we change our views on the change in terms of giving it to God and believing that he is always working it out for our greater good. What do you think about that? That's a mouthful right here.
It is, but I think the mind does play a big part. You have to have prayer and belief or faith to accompany it. So that does make a difference.
All right. Let's go to James. James, are you there with us? All right. I guess he's not. We've lost that call. All right, we got one more here that we're going to be able to take. Let's get to that one. Let's see here. This caller is in. This female, she says, I believe that miracles do happen when we pray. We have to earnestly believe that God is going to grant our prayer, even when it means we have to wait and be patient, like Jack said, which is so difficult for so many of us to do. This could often lead to us making terrible decisions. Prayer does change things and brings comfort to us. Jack, what do you think about that?
Well, you hit it right on the nose. I mean, yes, it's a matter of being patient and just waiting. It's not our time, as we stated earlier. It's God's time. He answers us, but he answers in his own way. Yes, no, and wait. And that we don't want the waiting. I'm reading in the Bible now, and all of these people tried to move ahead of God. All of them tried to move ahead of God. And things went in disarray and all. And that's what happens with us in the real world today. When we move ahead of God or we don't wait on him, then things go in disarray for us.
Okay, on that note, listen, you all, you've been a wonderful audience. I'm sorry for those of you all we wanted to get to tonight. Ms. Cross, we're going to ask you to bring us home and just give us a synopsis here on how does prayer change things, and this will close us out with tonight's show.
Well, I definitely believe that prayer can change things for those who believe. So prayer has the power to heal, and prayer has the power to guide. It's all about how we believe. So we have to believe in what we pray for and work towards what we pray for.
Okay, on that note, we're out of time. Listen, you all don't want to miss next week's show. You really don't want to miss it because next week's topic is, can you really get over your true love from the past? Can you really get over your true love from the past? So, you know, you all really don't want to miss that show. But join us here live tomorrow night for your half-hour inspiration program. We'll be broadcasting live out of Winter Haven, Florida. We'll be broadcasting live out of Winter Haven, Florida tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. If you can't join us tomorrow evening, join us back here next Thursday when the topic will be, can you really get over your true love from your past? All right, until tomorrow or until next Friday, say my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.